It been a day for me. Yeah, yeah. 101.7 The Truth, it's your girl Jazz Tyler. We are live in Zach Wrecked, and we got a special guest in the building. Philly Flyboy is here. Philly, what up?
Jazz, you all radio voice having that, girl? Oh, man, let me not swear. I'm going to be radio friendly.
I was sitting here thinking, like, you've seen me in every
facet. Yo. I said you were like, yo, I didn't know if I wanted to do the radio, but it's crazy because I said right out the gate, just for me knowing you for so long, like, everybody rocks with you. You can talk in any room. Everybody, like, knows you in some way, shape, or form. So I'm like, I think the radio is perfect because you can actually talk to a lot of people on a lot of different levels because you have a very wide spectrum of the Milwaukee, just the scene, from music to politics to the streets to the everything. So, like, you have a really well-rounded knowledge, you know?
And thank you, Philly.
Yeah, but I'm saying, so I think this is amazing because you're a voice that needs to be heard, too. And you know, so I think it's dope.
That's
just
dope.
My opinion.
Thank you. I want to go back, right? Before we, let's talk about accolades, things that you worked on, people. So, obviously, you work with the best of the best in the industry, from T.I. to Kendrick Lamar to Trey the Truth to everybody. Who is your favorite artist to work with of all time?
I have, you know, Trey's like my big brother. Like, Trey was the reason why I got into the industry, really, because I was filming a lot. But just independent, local, and not to say anything's wrong with that, but just to get on a national level is when I met Trey. Mm-hmm. And I met Trey, like, randomly through an artist from Milwaukee.
Can you do a Trey impression?
Hey, what up? Hey, stop playing games with me, Philly. Stop playing games. I got the illest Trey.
Shout out to Trey.
They did the Trey impersonation at Trey Day, and I had to stay back. I couldn't make it out this year, and they did Trey impersonation. No one did it good. I'm like, yo, I should have been there. I'd have crushed it.
He would have killed it.
So when I met Trey, that's kind of what I was talking about. When like, you know, the rubber hit the road, I was already moving, doing so many videos for local in Chicago and all around, kind of, you know, whatever, and even out of town. Mm-hmm. And when I met Trey, Trey's like a workaholic.
Yeah.
And Trey took me under his wing, and it went from, like, 0 to 100. But I was ready for it, too.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, I was prepared. I was in training camp for years in Milwaukee just getting to it. So when I met Trey, and Trey just put me in literally, like, I mean, if into – that's how I know T.I. That's how I shot Kendrick. That's how I shot J. Cole. That's how I shot Wiz Khalifa. That's how I shot, everybody.
Yeah.
That's how I met Mike Tyson. That's how I met Kevin Hart. That's how and filmed with all these people.
Yeah.
It's all through Trey.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it was the meeting Trey, finding somebody that's as loyal and that will put me in a position like that, you know, with Trey being who Trey is, but then my work ethic. So those things came together.
Yep.
And then it just went literally overnight. Like, and
so you are, to me, you are, you know, like a Trey of Milwaukee. And the reason why I say that is because a lot of people don't know that you have done the same thing for people here. Like, literally, you have connected everybody with everybody. The first time we met, I shot a video called You Ain't On. And I got a call and he was like, hey, I like this video. I like this trap video.
The one where you're holding a dog with the mink coat on. I say, yo, this girl's fire. Yeah. I just hit you up. Like, yo.
I'm like, dang, this Philly. I'm like, oh, man, somebody watching for real, for real. But we did the pullover video. And I was thinking about how everybody used this, the front scene of the art museum.
Yep.
But you was like one of the first people. Like, this
and
is
I had
2011.
And we brought a white Ferrari out
and a white
G-Wagon.
Yes.
And that was, again, through a friend of a friend that knew the buddy with them cars, pulled a favor, and I said, yo, have him pull up for like 10 minutes.
Yes.
And then literally it went crazy.
Like, when that video dropped and you hear the helicopter, I was like, oh, this next level. Most definitely was no videographer in Milwaukee doing videos at that level. And then fast forward. So,
and now that, what year was that?
2012.
Okay, 2012.
Yep, that was 2012. Yep. Shout out to Business Boy on the beat. Biz was on the beat.
Biz is on that beat?
Yeah, yeah.
That's my guy. I didn't even know that.
Yeah,
that's
Biz
crazy.
Did the beat. Shout out to Cool. Shout out to Cal G.
Man, that's crazy.
That was an amazing song, but I had
If y'all don't know, Business Boy's from Milwaukee. He's been a producer forever here, and now he's like literally
Grammy.
This dude's got, every week he's posting gold and platinum records. Chris Brown, and Friday, and everybody. Dude's working with everybody.
Yes. So I had Homer up here yesterday. I was saying all of that to say I had Homer up here yesterday, and Homer obviously is someone who impacted my life. And you have as well. A lot of people don't know. You are the reason I met Trey. You connected when T-Pain and them wanted to do the Wisconsin Fest. You connected them with me. You connected Tip with me when he wanted to help with the Crystal Kaiser case.
Yep.
Anthony Pettis.
Yep.
Everybody. Everything. This is what you do. Whenever it's something that needs to be done, it's like, I know the person to call. I know what to do. This is who Philly is. This is his character. These are the things and stories behind scenes that people never hear about, right? How much work has gone into you pushing other artists and connecting them with people in the industry and not getting online, boasting and bragging about it. You just do it, right? It's natural for you. So I want to
forgot about all
say,
that stuff I hooked you up with. Hey, you owe me a lunch or something. I forgot I plugged you in like that.
Listen, like, I get a call one day like, hey, I got T on the phone, like, for what? Not like that, but you know, like, what? Like, yeah, he want to help out with Crystal Kaiser case, or they trying to bring the Wisconsin Festival here, or, you know, Trey's doing this here, and it's like, let's get busy.
Craziest part about the T-Pain thing, and T-Pain's my guy, and I filmed with him a bunch of times, but his security guard didn't know who I was, and I got kicked out of that concert when I was supposed to go up and present T-Pain Day. His security guard, he thought I was some random bozo for some reason, and threw me out of the dang venue. Dog threw me out the venue. I'm like, bro, I'm here. I got T-Pain today. Like, bro, what's going on?
What are you doing? but no, I wanted to publicly say thank you, Philly, for real. And we do appreciate you. And I want to give you your flowers because you do it so effortlessly, right? You don't ask for anything in return. You do it because you really want people from the crib to make it. And a lot of people don't know that. Like, you don't have to. You put in so much work, you literally could just leave and not want to do anything with anybody. But you continuously to come back and you stay rooted in Milwaukee and Roe to me too. Yep. Connected with everybody.
Yeah.
Like,
I did. Oh, yeah, brought Roe to me.
We did the event last year.
I think the biggest thing about it for me is, and that's why I do Philly Facts too, and it's kind of like an educational thing that I do, and sometimes it's long form, sometimes it's short form, but I always try to plug people in different situations because that's what happened to me. Trey did it to me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like a lot of people just need that opportunity, and since we don't have a lot of that here, and I have access to a lot of things because I was given an opportunity, I feel like it's only right to kind of, you know. And it's not something that I need to brag about or talk about. That doesn't do much for me. I don't really care about that. I just want to kind of give back the favor that I was given, you know, when I got plugged in. I got put into the system, you know what I'm saying? I got put into the industry.
Yes.
So I'm like, that's all it is. And a lot of people don't know how to do that or which way to go about it. And since I've been blessed with that access, I feel like it's only right for me to extend that to other people.
So with that being said, how important is it for relationships? How important is it to have relationships with people?
I mean, you know, and you know this with me and you too, we've done so many different things together, and it's never been no static, no headache, no lying, no weird stuff, nothing. So it's not just about relationships, but it's the kind of relationship and the integrity that people, you know, you maintain throughout a relationship, you know, and no matter what's going on, that you sustain that level of integrity, because a lot of people look at things like, oh, I'm only going to mess with this person for this little play and that's it. When if you treat it correctly and do good business, that thing could grow into a 10-year relationship that could, because you know the thing about it is you know, like they said, all, you know, when the tide rises, all ships rise, or whatever that is, you know. So I went to public school, so I might have said that wrong, but you know what I mean. You know what I'm saying? When one ship rises, all of them rise.
Yeah.
So if you understand that concept, and I've seen that in Atlanta, I've seen it in LA, I've seen it in all these other markets. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, yo, like, if Jazzy's doing good, that's my homegirl. We've always been solid. That means I'm going to do good.
Yeah.
Not because, oh, she's going to plug me in or whatever, but if she's doing good, her opportunities and her resources become bigger.
Yeah.
Then if there is something that I need from her, she'll be able to help me out with that the same way I helped her out. So and it takes time, and people don't have patience anymore.
Yeah.
It's patience, integrity. You put those things together and just be a good person at the end of the day. And the networking, I have jobs that I get calls for right now that I'm from a person I met 6 years ago, one time. And I get a call 6 years later, they're in a new position. They want to do something crazy, and they come spend a whole bunch of money with me.
Yeah.
And we start working now all the time. So it's like, because I was who I was 6 years ago, treated everybody with respect,
yep,
and integrity, and did what I was supposed to do when I said I was going to do what I was going to do. Now they're giving me a call back 6 years later. So yes, don't underestimate the power of just being a good person, having good work, you know, obviously solid business, and just, you know, just being, having that integrity when you work with people.
Yes. Yes. You have, and I never see you complain. Like, whether we're on set or whatever it
gratitude,
is, like, you just
gratitude.
Do the work.
Gratitude.
Like, you'd be surprised how many people are, like, a-holes, for real, like, straight ass. You literally never complain. When I watch you in action, all I see you is just get to work. You don't switch up. You just, you know, when people come around, like, it's different. It's very different. And I'm glad that a lot of people, we had Ray Shotted on here, and he was talking about, you know, some of the work that he's seen you do. So you're really a legend, Philly. Like, you're a pillar now. You unk.
No, I'm big unk. Hey, I'm big unk. Know that. I got the grays. Look at these grays coming in. I just said it on my video there. I said, ooh, boy. I got to keep it low.
Does it feel weird, like, looking back at everything you've done and seeing, like, how far we come? Like, yeah, we old now.
No, I love it. That's the point.
Yeah.
What, are we supposed to never grow up? You know what I'm saying? I'm loving being in the position I'm in, because at the end of the day, like, you know, you're going to get older. Cool. Yeah. You can't fight it. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? And what's wrong with being 40 years old?
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that. You yeah. know what I'm saying? And you evolve as a person, and your pathway changes. Like, you know, mine's changing. I'm doing more movie stuff now, commercial stuff, documentary stuff. I'm changing in what I do, but I still do music video.
Yeah.
Because it's a passion of mine, and I like it. But at the end of the day, it's just like anything. Like, any other job that you do, there's going to be a progression. There's might be, you know, a change in your job. Mm-hmm. Everybody gets older. Everything changes. Life is life. Like, I'm not going to sit here and stress about something I can't control. I can't stop.
Absolutely.
Becoming unk. Okay, big unk.
Yeah, absolutely.
I am going to embrace the unkness. Okay.
We got Philly Flyboy in the building. When we come back, we're going to tap into some of your history, your work history, things you have worked on. Do not touch that. That was your girl, Jazz Tyler, 101.7 The Truth. One on 1.7 The Truth, it's your girl Jazz Tyler. We are live and direct. American Family Insurance is a proud sponsor of The Truth. For almost 100 years, they've been committed to helping families protect what matters most: your home, your vehicle, and the dreams you are building every single day. And if you are part of The Truth audience, you already know you work hard for yours. That's why having the right protection in place matters. American Family helps you stay ready for whatever life brings so you can focus on moving forward. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly with American Family Insurance. Get a quote or find an agent at amfam.com. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, SI, and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin, Milwaukee. Happy Tuesday. We got legendary Philly Flyboy in the building.
Today's Tuesday?
Today is Taco Tuesday.
Come on.
Yes, it is. Philly.
Yes,
walk
ma'am.
Us through.
How are we doing? Talk to me. Let's get these questions going.
Walk us through your journey. So I know that you started with Trey. What was
I
the...
definitely didn't start with Trey.
Trey well, not was when started with yeah, Trey, that's but when industry wise
when it went 100 miles per hour. Yeah, yeah.
True. So you've done departments with T.I. You've shot videos
and departments too.
Let's run down your accolades, right?
And departments too.
And departments too.
I just did another one with Tip and Terrence J. Oh, I don't even know. They switched the name of the movie. We just did a premiere of it at ABFF down in Miami. It's like American Black Filmmaking.
Operation Hope.
Yeah, no, that one, the Operation Hope. I was just a camera on that. There was somebody else directing. So a lot of times, 90% of the time, I'm shooting and directing. Sometimes I get hired just to film other people's stuff.
Okay.
So that movie, I literally just filmed. I didn't edit. I didn't direct. I didn't do anything. I was just literally running cam on that one.
Okay, so let me ask you this, because I know we had last year we did the actors workshop class, and a lot of people don't understand that directing and producing and, you know, the different things.
And I didn't either for the longest. I didn't know that a director didn't do what the producer does, and I didn't know that there was a lighting like crew and team and all that stuff. And you know, that information is more readily available now. But when I was coming up, I didn't understand the difference between those things. So I kind of was doing everything. So producing, obviously, if someone comes to you and says, hey, we want Lamborghini driving on the freeway on the home bridge with the city behind it, and we want a drone shot of it. Okay, so then the producer goes and finds the Lamborghini, sees what time of the day we can film it so we're not in traffic or whatever, or if we need a permit, you know, if you got money and you want to do it legit, not be running from the police. And so the producer puts it all together, and then he basically, or he or she basically talks to the director and says, okay, cool, I got, well, we couldn't get the red Lamborghini like the artist wanted. They only have a yellow one. So then they make that decision. And so it's basically whatever the vision is of the director, the producer goes and gets it. But then the producer also manages the budget as well and then makes sure that the rest of the team is in place for everything that's needed. So you basically, the director would more than likely, like when a music video, You don't always have a producer, you know. This is like if you have a budget and you have, sometimes you got to do everything as the director. You got to film it, you got to edit it, you got to produce it, you got to do everything.
Got you.
And that's like when someone's like, I'm a videographer, that basically, when people say that to me, I'm like, oh yeah, they produce, they light it, they edit it, they do everything, right? Yeah. But like when you go into like sets, right, and you got a budget, everything's kind of like individual, right? Which I don't really like. I don't like that because I'm so used to doing so much stuff. I feel like I'm not doing enough if I'm just directing, even though I've done it a bunch of times. But I'm still looking for ways to kind of get more involved. But as a director, you're basically like, you know, you're not really dealing with any of the actual production side of things.
Yeah.
You know, your producer is. So you're not dealing with like camera. You're not dealing with any of that stuff. You're just literally there for creative and direction. So, and I know guys that are directors that don't even know how to turn cameras on. You know, they're that kind of director. Like, they just direct.
Yeah.
You know, and that wasn't a world I came from. So when I got around people like that, and I'm like, yo, the director doesn't know what cameras are, what lenses are, doesn't know how to edit any of this stuff. I'm like, yo, this is crazy. Yeah. I know how to do everything.
Yeah.
But that's what I said. It was a good thing for me because I knew all these different roles.
Yeah.
So like for instance, I just did with Tip and Terrence J. Tip was directing it and I was basically his creative consultant. So I basically directed a lot of it with Tip. And I was just directing. You know, we had a full crew, we had a producer, we had, you know, multiple people on set. And I mean, that was probably one of the bigger sets I've been on for like a feature film.
Yeah.
And I mean, it was nice because it was the first time I was able to just direct, just be creative, you know, and I was able to like me and Terrence J got real, real close on set because, you know, he wanted to kind of do something a little different with this role and be a little bit more, you know, comedic, but also have some deep moments. And he was trying to just, you know, flex a little different. So me and him working together and talking together and him telling me what he was trying to do.
Yeah.
And then me making that happen for him and me finding, you know, and bouncing ideas off of each other, it was good. Because a lot of the times I don't have the opportunity to really dive deep into that portion of the directing side of things where you get to know the actors and you get to, you know, really try to bring the best out of them and all that other stuff. Like, obviously I direct and I deal with actors and stuff, but just having the amount of time to really connect with the actors.
Yeah.
When you're just directing, you can do that.
Yep.
When you're directing, producing, lighting, running cams, it's a little bit, you know, more difficult. And I just did it. So on the flip side of that, right before I did the movie with T.I. and Terrence, I did my own movie, shot with just one camera. Me and my guy Corey was running audio.
Shout out to Corey Piper.
Yeah. So Corey's like a little switchblade, pocket knife, switchblade.
Yeah.
You know, I went to public school. But he's like a pocket knife. He can do everything. So he did audio on set and I directed it. I produced it. I co-wrote it. The concept of the movie was based off of a situation that the lead actor was in, and I turned it into a story, and then we handed it over to a writer. So, you know, it was like I was everything on that set, lighting, and I'm editing it right now. And that's great. I love it. It feels like my baby. It's great. But the problem with it is, you know, when you're doing all that stuff, you know, like I said, there's those certain things that you can't always connect with the actors. Yeah. Now, in this situation, it was nice because I knew better, so I knew better.
Yeah.
I kept the cast real tight. It was three people in the whole movie. three main characters.
So it made it easier for you to be able to multitask.
Yep. Yeah. So that's because I've seen that on other sets where the budget ain't right, the crew ain't right, and then they got 15, 20, 30 yeah. cast members, and it's like, yo, it's too much. You can't get creative. You're just trying to, you know, shoot as fast as you can, get it in the bag, make sure no one starts tripping, and keep it moving. And that's not good. So when you're doing the indie stuff, keeping it tight, keeping it minimal, you can do these multi-producing, you know, producing, putting it all together, directing it on set, and then editing it, and then also working with your actors if you keep it tight. You know, that's kind of like the cheat code for the indie stuff. Like, keep it tight. One or two main characters, minimal amounts of locations.
Yeah.
No public spaces where you got to get permits and all this. Keep it, you know, stuff that you have access to.
So what is it about directing that just made you fall in love with it?
It's weird because my love is music. It's holding the camera.
Wow. Okay.
I love holding the camera. Because you know, like I said, I do photography. I've always been into art. So composition, framing up scenes, you know, seeing it on camera, you know, putting together the lighting so I know how it looks and all that stuff. That's what, and then when I get what I want, you know, I see the shot, that's like, it feels like it's like watching your kid, you know, make his first basketball shot in the game. That's the feeling I get. And then my second love is editing.
Okay.
And that's something that I love, just to be locked in, leave me alone, you know, got seven Red Bulls on the table. Like, you know, I ain't showered in 3 days because I ain't left the space because real editors know when you catch the creative vibe, you cannot get up.
It's a wrap.
Because the second you get up, you're literally, it will be gone. So that's why I say that, because sometimes, if I'm on a movie edit, you know, and you're talking 12-hour days of editing.
Yeah.
And obviously you have to get up, but you really try to minimize anything else happening.
Yeah.
Because once you catch a creative vibe and you lock it in, you know it's fragile, though.
Yeah.
That creative vibe can go poof real quick. Yep. Hey, you don't care what's going on. You're trying not to get up from that desk because you know and once you do, it could take a day or two, a couple days sometimes to get back into that vibe.
You're the first person I heard say that they love to edit.
I love
it. It seemed like a lot of videographers or directors, it's like it takes a lot.
Yeah,
to edit.
But that's the thing. Like, a lot of the times there is a huge, with most people, there is a huge discretion between what they like and what they don't like about the process, right? And for me, I really do truly enjoy it. Every part of the there's really not a part of the process that I dislike besides writing treatments.
Yeah.
I don't like writing treatments at all. I hate it because I overthink it always.
And it don't come out how you want it to because you're going to think of new things during the process anyways.
It's not even like that for me. It's literally like I have the idea.
Yeah.
Like I know exactly what it is. And then when I get into it, I'll hit a road bump. Like I'll say, oh, I want to film it at the Third Street Market, right?
Yeah.
And then I'll find out it's under construction.
Gotcha.
And then my whole idea, I'm like, I had the whole idea at the Third Street Market, and it's closed for the next month because they're redoing the Wi-Fi in that joint. And I'm like, oh my.
It's a wrap.
And then the reason why that crushes me is because I already see the whole video.
Yeah.
And that's the perfect location. I'm a huge locations guy.
Yeah.
Like, I just did a video with Sammy. We went out to Twin Lakes, Colorado, which is like 4 hours outside of Denver.
Uh-huh.
You know, so I got all these black folks with me in the middle of nowhere. They're like, yo, this is what we get for getting a white director, okay?
Hey, in the mountains.
Hey, literally. But Sammy, you know, Sam, I don't know if you know Sammy, but Sammy's kind of like an earth child. Like, he's a tree hugging, like, you know, fresh air and water. Yeah, he's that guy. But so he was loving it, but it was funny because, you know, we're climbing and it's snowing, and there's literally like bald eagles soaring over our heads and moose running around. It was crazy. But that, like, that location, I don't care if it took 4 hours to get there. I don't care if the artist doesn't want to go there. Like, we're going.
Yeah.
And the second they see the first shot, they're going to be like, oh, yeah, we're good. Like, I know why we came here now.
Yeah. And that's the visionary. That's why you have to be the visionary. We have Philly Flyboy in the building. We got to go to break to pay some bills. When we come back, we're going to talk about sacrifices, some of the things you have to go through in order to become who you are today. Do not touch that dial. It's your girl, Jazz Tyler, 101.7 The Truth.
Yeah. She grew up in the deep end where the sharks be. I'm on the highway and I'm finna come through. She got me finna miss whatever it cost me. My little mommy's a fantasy.
101.7 The Truth. It's your girl Jazz Tyler. Get ready. 101.7 The Truth Family Fest is back. Join us Saturday, August 22nd from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Riverside University High School for free back-to-school resources, live entertainment, family activities, and community fun. Vendors and sponsors can reserve a spot by visiting truthfamilyfest.com or by emailing Sierra, Sierra.Brown@MilwaukeeBlackMedia.com. Proudly sponsored by Educators Credit Union, American Family Insurance, Milwaukee Public Schools, Artists Working in Education, and Incision. Milwaukee, we got legendary Philly Flyboy in the building.
Yeah, you cold at the commercials. You don't be messing up at all. I'm waiting for you to mess up. And you're like, yeah, today at Summer Jam Kids Festival.
I'm auditioning for the next movie.
Hey, you're fired. You know lines. You can remember lines. I know that.
I promise you I can. I got
Was
some
that guys. B Justice that you were just playing?
Was that B Justice?
Was that B Justice?
Yep.
Yeah, and Troy Tyler.
You just did his video.
I was shooting with B earlier today. He got because you know B be rapping about his real life, so he be flipping houses in Milwaukee.
Yeah, I seen him on the side of a house.
Yeah, I'm saying that's his rehab. He just bought that crib and he's throwing siding on it right now. So he's like, "Hey, bro, I got a song about like flipping houses or like you know he references it in a record and he's like, I want to do this little shot over there.
Yeah.
So I was just over there. That was on it's like 42nd and Hampton over there. We were filming. All the neighbors are coming out like, yo, what the hell y'all doing over there?
I just seen that. He had some overalls on, shirt
off. He came with the all eyes on me.
I seen him. So, Philly, you have so many accolades. You've done so many amazing things around not just the country but the world in general and work with some of the best of the best. What are some of the sacrifices you had to go through that people are not familiar with?
I mean, being away from pretty much everything. Nothing. Everything's negotiable in my life. Thanksgivings, Christmases, whatever. You know, I would ultimately at the end of the day, you know, I try to balance it by like if I miss something important, when I come back, I try to spend that extra time with family and all that stuff. The problem is when you come back, now it's editing time and you got the client blowing you up. When is the edit coming back? So it's like, you know, it's that like you want to try to get to it. Mm-hmm. So it's just balancing, you know, but what's been really good for me is, you know, my immediate circle, everybody knows, like, yo, this is you they know what it takes to kind of get in the industry and do what I do, and they get it. So no one really ever, I've never had a real issue with no one ever holding it against me, but I know what it does. I mean, people ain't gonna say it, but, you know, my family, my daughter, you know, things like that. Like, you know, she stopped crying when me leaving. Pretty quickly because I was leaving all the time.
Yeah, so she got used to it.
Yeah, she still gets sad when I gotta go out of town, which is all the time still. But a lot of times now she's a little bit older, so I bring her with me sometimes. Yeah. Like I was just in Atlanta with her, and now she likes it because she feels like she knows what I'm doing. And then I do acting with my daughter too, so I'll film her.
Oh, that's fire.
Yeah, we don't put it out. It's not like, you know, we're not putting it on YouTube or anything. But like I'll show her and then I'll let her run the camera. And then she's really interested in, like, how it all works. And she likes to act. And I'll have her act like family members.
Yeah.
Because you got to understand, like, hey, yo, listen, my family is, like, we're Polish and we're weird as hell. Like, everybody got a crazy party. My mom is nuts, certified, like, in a good way.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, my mom is, like, literally, that's why I get along with black people so well. Like, black aunties love me because they can't offend me. They're going to light me up. Hey, cause my mom, my grandma, everybody, because I'm Polish. Yeah. Polish people are nuts. So I'm saying, so, like, all my family's got crazy personalities. So that's how my daughter, I'm like, yo, act like Uncle Ben.
Yeah.
And she'll go crazy. You know, act like grandma. Yeah. And she'll go crazy with it. And she nails it, too. She knows everybody.
Cause everyone's got
big personalities in my family.
That's so dope. That's dope. So when you first started in Milwaukee, who were some of the artists that you were working with?
So I had like, you know, I had my own team, and it's funny that you say like bringing people together too, because like, you know, it was Southside versus Northside, and there was no Southside. There really was no Southside music scene. So I remember we got with Ray Rizzy, and Rizzy came over by us on the Southside, and then that pretty much got all of us to go to the north side. I remember we came into questions like 40 Puerto Ricans deep. Me and like the whole south side went into questions. And it was like, you know, when the record scratched?
Yeah. It is that. Yeah.
If you know questions, you know what you're talking about. Exactly. It was that kind of action.
Yeah.
And then, but then Rizzy was on the mic like, yo, that's my people. Da, da, da. So everybody chilled out. They thought we was in there about to, like, something about to go down.
Yeah. Like, where are they coming from?
Why is there 40 Puerto Rican dudes walking in through the door right now?
Yeah.
So it was like one of those things where Rizzy kind of brought us to the north. We brought him to the south. I had Rizzy in all the little, you know, crazy clubs over on the south side. And then that's when I met New Styles. And that's when I started meeting with, like, you know, with everybody, you know. And the thing about it was like, you know, like when you see like the two dogs barking from the side of the fence and then the fence moving and they're like, oh, like that's what it was. Like north side versus south side because it's white versus black kind of, you know what I'm saying? And then when we came together, we were like, oh, everybody
it
cool.
Works.
Everybody cool.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I got all the Puerto Ricans, Dominicans with me too. And it's just that like ignorance of not understanding other people and just coming up with these ideas in your head that like, oh, black folks or white folks are like this or whatever. And then when we came together and it was like it was like some kumbaya moments because, you know, we were on the north side all the time. We had all Rizzy and a bunch of other people coming over to the south side and it was all love and it was all rooted in music though.
That's
like the power of music, which is goes, you know, music is just universal. It doesn't have a color, which is dope. And I saw that in real time.
Yeah.
Where you know, when we started connecting both sides of the city, and that was really dope to me. I'd already been doing that because I play ball, so I hooped all over the city. Mm-hmm. So for me, I was always all over the place.
Yeah.
I'll go wherever the games were at. Like, if there was people outside playing, we would play. But then to bring that into the music space, and I see that now, too, especially in Milwaukee. I love it because, you know, we've always been so segregated and whatever. So the fact that music and nightlife and just dancing and having a good time, like, you know, Mondo, like DJ Mondo, like, who's got everybody? When you see a Mondo party, it's white girls, black girls, Asian girls, it's everybody, and they're all having a good time, vibing. And I'm like, yeah, that's dope, because, again, it's music.
Yep.
It's having a good time, and it's music and the power of music. I mean, music changed my life, you know what I'm saying? So for me to see that in the city, though, specifically, and to have that experience where I was able to kind of conjoin South Side with North Side and be a part of that process on the music side of things is dope, and it's good to see that that's still happening.
Yeah, I actually got, I gotta find it. I got a song with Philly singing on a hook.
Man, that's gotta be.
Come on, man.
I was probably, well, you know, that's the thing.
Reckless Diamonds. Oh, remember? Yeah.
But I'm saying you were so geeked up because I would just cut records. I would cut them for other people, though. I was just writing songs.
Yeah.
So, because when I would have downtime at the studio, I would write. I would make beats. I would sing hooks for other people. I would write different songs for other people, and I would send them. And people would be like, man, you should just stay on it. And I'm like, bro, I don't do music no more. When I stopped doing music when I was like 18.
Man, that song was so, I was like, oh, my gosh. Didn't even know. Then you hit me with the graphics on.
Yeah.
I was like, come on, Philly, let's go. Let's go.
Too geeked.
What is one thing about the old Milwaukee, the culture from the old Milwaukee that you miss, that you don't see today?
I actually think I love the progression of Milwaukee. I think the new generation, you know, just all the, you know, all the different guys that are coming up from Big Frank and Selly and Chicken, all these guys, like, they just figure out like the most, like they just feel like Milwaukee.
Yeah.
These dudes just feel like Milwaukee and they represent it very well. I just shot some stuff with Selly. I haven't shot with Frank, but me and him have talked a couple times. I always try to reach out to everybody and just kind of extend an open door kind of policy.
Mm-hmm.
Shot with Chicken, you know, all these guys. And they just, I don't know, there's like a Milwaukee essence that has not changed from my generation to the new generation. It's different.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
But there's like that thing where like you can just identify like, yo, these dudes are from Milwaukee.
Yeah.
How they talk, how they, you know, because like I think one of the biggest characteristics of Milwaukee is we will roast you.
Yeah.
And then we will beat you up and rob you at the same time if you get out of line. You know what I'm saying? Like, we'll be the nicest person you've ever met, and things could go the wrong way too. But that's like, as long as there's respect and it's all love, like it's all good. And then, but like we'll roast you out the gate.
Yeah, like absolutely.
And Milwaukee dudes can take getting roasted too.
Yeah.
All it is like a challenge. Like, yo, I got you. But like I do it out of town.
Yeah.
When people introduce me to other people, I get to frying them right out the gate. Yeah. Like
I'm where are you from?
Yo, people get offended.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh no, that's just how we say what's up. And they're like, dog, you just fried my shoes and tore my whole outfit and said I look, you know, like whatever. And I'm like, oh yeah, no, that's not even no person. But like it's crazy because like I didn't realize that was a Milwaukee thing until I got out of Milwaukee and started moving around and I'm roasting. I roast Tip, Trey, I roast our major artists. Like, yo, I'm on set frying guys.
Yeah.
And people are like looking at me like, yo, what's dude on? Like, he tripping.
Are you crazy?
Yeah. And now people just know it's me.
Yeah.
But I'm saying, like, initial first impressions, like, yo, people don't get the whole Milwaukee. Yeah. Like, yo, they don't get it. Yeah, and then you can't say ribbon because no one knows ribbon
what
outside.
It means.
Yeah, like, ribs, what are you, like, that, what are you talking about? Ribbon. You're ripping something? Like, what are you talking about? I'm like, yo, bro,
okay.
Yeah. Dookies, bubbler, and ribbing cannot be said outside of Milwaukee.
No clue.
No one will know what's going on.
They have no clue whatsoever. We got Philly Flyboy in the building. When we come back, we are going to catch up and see what you got going on today, Philly. It's your girl, Jazz Tyler, 101.7 The Truth. Truth, it's your girl Jazz Tyler. We are live and direct, and we got my player partner, Philly Flyboy, in the building.
Got that Corey Piper and Sean Kingston on.
He going crazy.
Hey, come
Played
on.
Played the Beat Justice.
I'm saying, you know that joint was, I think it's at a couple million streams right now. That song did crazy. The story of that song is crazy.
Shout out to the whole team.
Hey, we thought Sean Kingston finessed us on that, and then it was the opposite of the finesse. But
it was a good thing.
We thought it was a finesse.
Yeah.
Because he took 2 years to give us that record back.
Whoa.
We paid him, and then he took 2 years, and it felt like he was kind of spinning us and finessing us and whatever. But Corey was getting all pumped up. Oh, man, what, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But Sean always answered the phone.
Yeah.
And now little did a lot of people know, my first ever big exposure to the music industry, I was on tour with Sean Kingston, Justin Bieber, and Nicki Minaj way prior to this record.
That's crazy.
Sean didn't remember me, though.
Yeah.
And I didn't even bring it up around him. Like, when I came around him with the record, you know, and me and Corey were doing the record with him, I didn't even bring it up.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I don't think he remembered me, and I didn't bring it up.
Yeah.
I only did 2 tour dates with him, but that I was literally...
But you did it.
Yeah. But I'm saying, and Sean Kingston, I have video on the thing where he shot Philly Flyboy, the best videographer in the world. Literally. So, long story short, it took 2 years to send this record back. Corey's getting mad. He's getting like, man, what's up, bro? He took my money, ain't doing nothing. And I'm like, yo, but he keeps answering the phone.
Yeah.
Someone who's ducking you and dodging you like
ain't
that,
gonna
they ain't
answer.
Gonna answer on the first ring every time we hit. And FaceTime.
Right.
Like FaceTiming.
Yeah.
So no lie, out of nowhere, 2 years after Corey gave him the record, he sends the record over. Now, Corey sent him this demo that was real light. Because he didn't want to overly tell Sean Kingston what to do.
Yeah.
So he kind of gave him like, yo, this is kind of what I'm thinking, da, da, da. Sean sends over like this whole produced, he rewrote that. Sean wrote that whole hook. You hear the ad-libs on there, the mix down on there. Like, it's phenomenal.
Yeah, he took the time.
Yo, but he rewrote it, redid it, all that stuff. And he did it for the player pricing.
That's fire.
And I've always, I told Corey this too, cause, and this was something that he had to learn because he didn't have a lot of experience in the industry. I said, yo, bro, you got to understand, like, he gave, and now really, this is the craziest part, he only paid him $5,000 for that.
That's not bad.
No, that's
for not
Sean
bad at
Kingston.
All.
When you think about it, top 40 hit to Sean Kingston. Sean did it off the love. And I said, bro, it's Sean Kingston.
Yeah.
He liked your music. That's why he did it for the plug price, right? But it's not going to be his priority. He's a busy dude. He's moving around. He's doing it. When he literally has absolutely nothing else to do, he'll probably sit down and do this. But you got to be patient, bro. He just plugged you in. And then Corey did. Corey chilled out. He got the record back. And then it just went ballistic. Like, it's a couple, 3-4 million views now. It's one of Corey's biggest records ever.
Yeah.
And Sean went crazy, rewrote the hook, and sent the most beautiful vocals. Like, everything was stemmed out. Everything was, like, super well recorded.
Professional.
Yeah, like, crazy. And rewrote the whole hook. So, I mean, he did his thing. So, Sean Kingston wrote it, put it together, ad-libs, layers on layers of vocals, like, super fire.
Speaking of the process of working with artists, what's one thing you've learned working with artists that no one talks about?
I think the biggest thing is, you know, people meet a representative of the artist, mm-hmm. right? And then as you work with an artist, you start, you know, getting familiar with that artist. And I think the biggest thing, reason why a lot of artists mess with me mm-hmm. real tough is I know when, you know, how to handle the artist, right?
Right.
And it's picking up on cues and kind of trying to understand the artist too and knowing what they like and saying it. So if you hear, like, for instance, the label says, hey, we want them to be, you know, swimming in the ocean and this other stuff. And I know the artist is a girl and I know her. I'm like, yo, she ain't going in the water with her hair.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? She's not doing that. Mm-hmm. I already know because I know every time I filmed with her, she's real particular about how her hair looks.
Yeah.
She's real hair driven. Everything needs to be perfect. She's combing it all the time. She ain't doing no ocean shot. And I'll speak up for her.
Mm-hmm.
Like, nah, we ain't doing the ocean. We'll do it on the beach, but we ain't doing the ocean. And then she'll be, oh, yeah, no, never did. I don't want to do that. You know, thank you, Philly, for, like, kind of, like, not letting the label, like, run over. You know what I'm saying? And that's because I pay attention and I watch things and stuff like that. So there is a human in there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Even the meanest artist, the best artist, whatever it is.
Who's the artist you work with where things just got heated on set?
Wale.
Really?
Yeah, Wale.
I can see that.
Yeah, not in a bad way, but. It was a weird situation, and Wale kind of got thrown into the situation. It was a video with Trey for I'm On, and once we got like going mm-hmm. and he saw what it was, he was cool. But I think he came into it thinking like, yo, what am I even like? What's going on here?
Yeah.
We had him pull up on some random like, yo, got come you. Over. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So like he got kind of spicy off the rip. And it was real awkward at first.
Yeah.
And then once it got going, it was good.
Okay.
And you, again, like, I always put myself in the artist's shoe, right?
Yeah.
So I ain't even trip. You know what I'm saying? Like, I ain't even trip. Right out the gate, I came out. I was like, all right, bro, hey, we going to do it like this. He's like, hey, my man, who have you ever shot for before?
Yeah.
That was he didn't say hello. He asked me who I shot for.
Yeah.
So he little dogs me out the gate. Yeah. I never even met this dude. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like already like, what? Well, I'm like, all right, let's just keep it moving.
Yeah.
Because you got to understand, once you're around artists a lot, you start understanding why they say no to certain things or why you see them maybe in a bad mood or whatever like this, because people just harass these people. It's crazy. Like, there's a lot of people that show respect, but there are so many people that just disrespectfully harass these people mm-hmm. and expect them to just do whatever they ask.
Yep.
And that there's moments where the artist breaks or they don't want to be around things and they don't want to go to stuff. And I've noticed that with a lot of different artists I've worked with. Sometimes they're ready to do whatever, shake everyone's hand, sign in every autograph. And other times it's like, nah, I'm not doing none of this.
Yeah.
And then that's when they get the bad press. For me, I'm like, yo, put myself in their shoes. I kind of see the scenario. And just reading the talent. Reading the talent is a huge bonus as a director.
Mm-hmm.
Reading the talent, kind of seeing, you know, body language and things like that. If they look awkward, they feel awkward, that's where you step in as a director and pull them out and find out what's going on so that you can get the best performance out of them. And if it could be something simple.
Yes.
It could be something very simple. So a low-key director attribute that everyone should do is pay attention to your talent, not just thinking that they're a robot that gets in front of the camera and is going to perform at 100% every time. Watching what's going on. They got comfortable shoes on. Like, they got water. Are they overheating? Is the sun blasting them? You know what I'm saying? Are they getting hot? Get someone to put an umbrella on them. Like, things like that. And you're going to get that's how it does you a favor, because it's going to give them the best performance that they can do, which makes your product look better, which makes them love the product that you shot for them.
And they'll keep coming back.
And that's it. So pay attention to your talent. Pay attention to body language and just verbal stuff and just really dialing that in. And that can help you as a director, like, tremendously.
If you could direct one person in history, living or deceased, that you haven't worked with, who would it be?
I'm a mob guy. I'm a big mafia guy.
Yeah.
So it would definitely be, you know, it would be the Pacinos. It would be, you know, the Ray Liotta's. It would be the mob guys. You know, I watch Sopranos. This is a little Philly fact that not a lot of people know. I watch Sopranos while I edit.
Okay.
So I edit all the time.
Yeah.
I've watched Sopranos from beginning to end probably 400 times.
Whoa.
Literally not exaggerating 400
times.
Yeah. So because I love Sopranos so much and I like to have something else kind of on in the room, and I can't listen to a podcast because then I'll be listening to the podcast, and I need to be focused on the edit.
Yeah,
I've watched Sopranos so many times that I don't need to fully listen to it or watch it, and I don't care if I miss 20 minutes of it by not paying attention because I've already seen it so many times.
Yeah.
So Sopranos is my editing.
It's a part of the process.
It's crazy.
That is crazy.
I bought the whole series on YouTube, so I just go into my YouTube account and just fire it up. That's my Philly fact that a lot of people don't know. I have Sopranos on at all times.
So let's do a lightning round before you get out of here.
Let's get it.
What's your favorite movie?
Look it, I'm on season 2, episode 10 right now.
Come on now.
From yesterday. I was editing yesterday. I swear. Hey.
What's your favorite movie?
Oh, yeah. We just said it. Goodfellas.
Goodfellas.
Goodfellas is my favorite movie, then Casino, then Godfather 1.
Who's your favorite director?
Favorite director? I would say, it's got to be Scorsese.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, these are like very obvious things, you know what I'm saying? But yeah, that would be Scorsese for sure.
Best advice you've ever received?
Best advice I've ever received is no one, you're a man, no one gives a damn. Keep it moving. This doesn't apply to the females.
Yeah.
But as a man, it's a wrap. And the other good thing, the second best part of advice that I got from my grandfather was education costs money.
It sure does.
And he's not talking about going to college. Okay? Education costs money. So every time I blow 400 and something don't work out, like I buy something that I think is going to work for my camera or something and it break or whatever it is and I blow $400 on something, I think of my grandpa saying, you just paid $400 to learn that wasn't the right thing to do. Don't do it again. You just spent $400 on that education.
Yo, you got any shout-outs, Philly?
I mean, for me, I think, everybody knows. If you know me, you know who I mess with, as far as, I deal with everybody in the city. What I would, instead of shouting individuals out, I think the biggest thing, and I've already shouted Trey out and Tip and Corey and B Justice and all these guys. One of the things I talked about was that I like to keep an open door policy for other artists, producers, directors, anything kind of in the arts world in Milwaukee. So I like to just openly say that. Like, feel free to DM me, Philly Flyboy on Instagram. Instagram is my favorite platform, so just DM me on there. If you got questions about stuff or just, something that maybe you want to know a little bit more about and you think I might know that, and then just follow me too, because I post a lot of the Philly Facts content and I talk a lot about my experience in the industry and I educate through that way too. So
absolutely, thank you so much, Philly, for all that you do. Thank you for pulling up on us. Be sure that you follow him on social media. When we come back, we're going to tap back into some who played an important role in your life. It's your girl Jazz Tyler. Do not touch that dial. 101.7 The Truth.